The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real. Real. Relaxed. Relaxed. But relevant. But relevant. She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
Oh, top of the morning to you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, another day to be alive. We'll be dedicating this show to the loss of life of Lieutenant Sean Williamson, who passed away in a house collapse several days ago. I had the pleasure of going to the station on yesterday and providing some spiritual support to the members of the house. And they were most grateful for the care. We had a word of prayer, and certainly we'll keep them in prayer as we begin to celebrate his life in a more public way in the coming weeks. So this show on Juneteenth, which is our holiday, anybody want to say hey?
Hey! Hey.
On this day, we want to celebrate life and the opportunity of freedom. I do have two fabulous gentlemen who happen to be father and son in the studio live with me. They didn't find it a problem coming to see an OG. And so we're going to get right to it after a word from our sponsor.
Are you in need of primary care services where you feel like family? Do you want to go to a place with a caring and passionate staff that cares about you and wants to make sure that you receive all of your services not only in one place, but you holistically become better? Let me suggest Dedicated Senior Medical Center. Hi, this is Bishop Mary, and I need you to get to one of the five locations throughout the city of Philadelphia. North Philly, West Philly, South Philly, Mayfair, and Allegheny. They will be happy to receive you. Now, to qualify, you must be 55 and older and have the Medicare Advantage plan. And if you don't, they have somebody there. They'll be able to help you get on board. So try Dedicated Senior Medical Center at a location near you today. And know that when you call the Dedicated Difference, you won't be disappointed.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Davis, Senior Executive Vice President with the National Hockey League. We're proud of the wonderful efforts of our new partners at the Community Healing Project for All to provide community healing, especially to our young people. In addition to providing a free educational resource to children with our in-home and in-school STEM curriculum called Future Goals, we are excited about the communication tools called Healing Posters. We hope that every time a child sees these wonderful signs in a window, they are reminded that they are loved, valued, and have great purpose. So join us by calling or texting 833-722-4748 and leaving your contact information. Together, we can work to battle our children's many challenges to education and bring a message of hope.
National celebrated commemoration of the ending of slavery in the United States. Juneteenth is also known as Juneteenth Independence Day or Freedom Day. It's a holiday that commemorates the June 19, 1865 announcement of the abolition of slavery in Galveston, Texas, and more generally, the emancipation of African-American slaves throughout the Confederate South. Celebrated on June 19th, the word is a combination of June and 19th. Juneteenth is recognized as a state holiday our special day of observance. Juneteenth is the embodiment of freedom and independence of descendants of enslaved Africans who on June 19, 1865, learned 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was issued that they were free. We are free, no longer bound. Every day, Juneteenth comes around.
Wow, we should be sorry. Excited. Today is Happy Juneteenth, and I hope that everybody is enjoying the opportunity for a day off. Nobody seems to be excited. Okay. All right. Those of us that are working, and nobody saying nothing. So I want to hit on this for just about 3 or 4 minutes because it is important to those of us who are African American. The Emancipation Proclamation occurred on January the 1st, 1863. We didn't get our freedom for 2.5 years because some of the people who were supposed to come down and tell us, particularly in the South where Opal Lee lived at in Galveston, Texas, didn't know that they were free. And imagine, after finding it and hearing the extra, read all about it, that the president had done that. Could you imagine what our forefathers must have thought? My great-grandmother was born in 1872 and didn't find out until then, and they had migrated from the South to the North. Mm. And it was during that time, in order for them to get money, they had to work on the farms. So they were now employees for nominal wages, because a lot of them didn't know anything else except to take care of massa. Mm-hmm. Today we have different type of slave masters.
Yeah.
Okay. And some of them we can get away from, some of them we cannot. But for you, A.J. Evans Jr., our music feature today, mm-hmm. What does it mean when you hear about that atrocity, especially as a young man? I assume you're a young man. You look young.
Yes.
And you are the tender age of?
17.
Oh, my Jesus. He's not quite even a man yet. I understand why Dad said what he said. Oh, yes. About 20 years or so.
Yes, I just turned 17 June 10th.
Oh, yes. He's a baby. My granddaughter just turned 16. She goes to Central. And I just see them grow up so fast. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, wow. Good for you. So, did you know about Juneteenth? Did they talk about this in school?
Well, I know about Juneteenth through my parents because they teach it to me and my sister. And my mom is a principal mm-hmm. at a school in Philadelphia called Global Leadership Academy. So they do a big parade every year for Juneteenth. And they just did one yesterday and it was huge. It was great. So I know about Juneteenth and the effect that it has on us as Black people. But it's hard sometimes because going to a predominantly white institution for 3.5 years of my life, they don't talk about these things and they hide these things. It's not written in our books and it's not written in the system. So it's hard to kind of go from that being in a household with two parents who talk about these things all the time and then go to this predominantly white institution where they talk about none of these things. So that's why you have to know yourself. That's why you have to know your worth, because when you come from these parents who teach these things hardcore and you know yourself, you'll be able to bring it over to this predominantly white institution. And sometimes the issue is when it's not talked about at home, you can't bring it to these predominantly white institutions. So you get washed too. And that's the issue sometimes.
Wow. That's pretty profound in saying that you then have to be the educator in a predominantly white education.
Yes.
Mm. So Dad, you did good work then.
we hope so. Yeah, I just think it's important. And I don't take away from the parents that don't know, because again, we have generations of schools, unfortunately, who have not taught our history. Mm. And when they've taught the history, they've taught what they wanted to teach. That's why so many of our children believe that we come from slavery as our beginnings, and it's not. And so it's so important that you especially in 2022 when there's so much opportunity through technology to educate yourself. And so that is our goal, my wife and I, to educate our children so they can go educate their peers, so they could talk about it all over, because you feel not only liberated, but our black children, black and brown children, could be more confident about who they are if they know who they are. If they're not believing that they came just from cotton fields, because that is the narrative that is taught in America, that we come from cotton fields, we come from oppression. We didn't fight back. We were slaves. We weren't enslaved. But no, we fought back. We wanted out of it. There were some of them that their minds were not mentally down. They wanted to get out. They constantly thought of ways to, get out of the situation. So
then we have our heroes. And yes. Our African-American yes. history classes talk mm-hmm. about our known heroes.
Yep.
Sojourner Truth, Crispus Attucks, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, and then they bring it up current. Oh my God, let's just be excited about Dr. Martin Luther King
mm-hmm.
and that radical crazy man called Malcolm X, mm-hmm. And they feel as though those are the only people we're supposed to know when we have such a much more
yes.
richer history, not just with George Washington Carver yes. and others, but just the fact that we are a people who are resilient
mm-hmm.
that have impacted and changed, and
mm-hmm.
other ethnic groups have benefited from our wisdom,
mm-hmm. yes.
from our discoveries
yes.
that are now prominent in our world. And so I'm grateful that you said that, and I'm hoping that those of you that are listening will start to become more educated, more interested mm-hmm. than listening to the narrative,
mm-hmm.
because the narrative is not always true. And, of course, as our Bible says, and the truth shall make, I'm going to not preach on a Monday after a Sunday, shall make you free.
Yes.
And shifting, I want to thank you so much for the wonderful program you had on Friday evening.
Thank you.
Taking the Risk, Meet My Father. And I was just so glad to be there and to do my little part. Amen. It was hosted by Patty Jackson. And
did a big and part. People are still talking about that.
And my chief aide, Dr. Thompson, was there. I want to bring him in on this just to say, for a minute, what your thoughts were as a pew sitter. But we weren't in pews. We were under a tent. But as an observer.
So my mind is backlogged with what I'm seeing here today. I just can't give enough adulation for this father who is sitting here. I was watching him as his son was speaking, and have three boys as well, all college graduates. And but just, the quiet, pride of the dad, doing a job well done. First of all, a son that's already a featured artist. Oh, my God. See, now, okay, we got to make room for his head in this room. He just teasing that. Just teasing. At 17, following in dad's footsteps in terms of the singing ability and all that kind of stuff. That's wonderful. And, of course, mom. And what's mom's name?
Dr. Tamika Michelle Evans.
Yes, let's make sure we put that out.
Yes.
Let's put that out in the atmosphere. Because Father's Day is over.
Yes.
11:59.
She is the better half. Yes.
Now he's trying to get you some cookies. So, okay. That's a wise man, son. You taking notes? That's a wise father. So I have to start and say that I'm just so pleased to see this generational thing that you're doing, that you're passing, it on. You're not many of our in our cases, fathers, just kept it all to themselves, died with the boots mm-hmm. on, and the legacy was not passed on. So I got to take a moment and congratulate you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Regarding that. And then and then of course he sang also at the event, and so it was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And then to have the vision that you had to pull this whole piece together, seeing the great need for it
to be put out there and to be talked about, and to have the juice to be able to bring in the network. Because you had some powerful people with you. Was name dropping. Alan Waller, you know, Pastor Moore, you know, Keith Reed, who I went to school with, you know, for them to buy in. That takes juice in our community on such an important topic. And so I just enjoyed that, and the speakers that you selected and those kinds of things. And I knew the only part of the event that it kind of I was nervous about was when the Archbishop, you know, said, "Let me use my preacher's voice." Well, that was a problem. That was, you know, don't let me use this mic. Let me use. And, you know, so having to project just got worse. You know, and she had the audience. We were all kind of nervous. You know, she's talking about some stuff, you know, that probably he shouldn't have heard. You know, the basement parties, red, blue lights. And
needed to hear it.
Yes, you know, I say. So, you know, we were wondering, you know, where was she going with this? But it was such a beautiful, the weather was great.
Yes.
The participants, the people who came out, young black men came out to hear it, and the people shared what was on their hearts relative to their experience and their fathers. I just want to give you kudos. It was
thank
wonderful
you very
event.
Much. I appreciate that. Thank
absolutely.
You.
And I think that it also showed the vulnerability of black men yes. who we sometimes look as strong figures that are not emotional, mm-hmm. who are providers mm-hmm. and not necessarily sensitive. Mm-hmm. And whether you have a good relationship or not with your father, I want to quote what my son said. And when I called him on yesterday, no, he called me and I said, "Son, happy Father's Day." And he said, "Mom, I want to thank you for being the father, showing me the vulnerability of being a man. My dad never was, mm-hmm. never wanted to be. Mm-hmm. But thank you for showing me the real side of what it is to be a man." Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, men, they always say men, women can't really raise men. But I wanted him to see the practicum. Mm-hmm. I wanted him to be emotional. I want him to be vulnerable with his daughters and mm-hmm. his son. I want him to be able to speak mm-hmm. truth to power
yes.
and not mask it with, you know, all of this puffy puff stuff. Because mm-hmm. the devil loves that stuff.
Yeah.
And it hits
mm-hmm.
hard on the second mm-hmm. and the third generation.
Yes.
So what we might want to hide about our dads, our views, our feelings, and what have you, because we idolize them, we lie at funerals, you know, we put up this big thing about how great they are, mm-hmm. and then our mistakes we're not relevant with. And I think one of the cleansing things that helped my son was when I was able to sit down when he was at the right age and have a real conversation with him about his father and I.
Mm-hmm.
In real, not mm-hmm. everything, but in totality, mm-hmm. there were some real issues there. And this is why I made the decisions I made
yes.
and what was necessary for your life. Mm-hmm. And you may not agree, but I hope you never have to get to that.
Yes. Right.
And where my failures were. Because if we as parents can't do that with our children, they're just going to go with mm-hmm. another false narrative mm-hmm. and repeat it. Only the devil will respond to it a lot worse. Mm-hmm. What I survived, my children may not. And God forbid, my grandchildren may not.
Yeah.
And so I wanted that to stop with him. Mm-hmm. I stopped the curse mm-hmm. by talking to him mm-hmm. so he doesn't absolutely. Perpetuate the same yes. curse now for my grandchildren.
Yeah.
And I got seven of them. So I had that conversation with all of them. Listen, the you know, mom
you
is this. Yes.
Is that they may not survive it.
Right.
And I don't think that we were what God allowed some of us to go through. It was just for us. It wasn't mm-hmm. meant for our children.
Come
and
on.
So you have to be careful about that because you went through something perpetuating that on your children because they may not survive it.
Right.
That is such a great point. And that's why we have to break those curses and have those courageous conversations that may hurt, that may be deep. And you don't have to tell them everything.
Right.
But you need to put it in perspective so that they will understand that they don't have to carry this. You know, that I'm free from this situation. So
I agree with you. I will never forget one thing that my late father Reverend Melvin Floyd said to me. He said, Bibbit, don't carry nobody else's burden that right. you didn't have to. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't carry what my relationship with my father was. He was mm-hmm. still your grandfather.
Yeah.
And you were supposed to honor and respect him. Mm-hmm. My relationship may be different, but you don't need to carry my water
right.
for how That's I right. can correct it. You just make sure that you don't repeat it.
That's right.
Now that you're informed yeah. and you right. can correct it. And he also said, if you start the curse, end the curse.
That's yeah. right.
Mm-hmm. And so that helped me as a parent with my children. Mm-hmm. I perpetuated it because I married that. You mm-hmm. understand? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. if there was failure, I have to own it. And right. then I have to make sure that I prepare them not to repeat mm-hmm. the curse that could affect them. So mm-hmm. I'm grateful for that. I was talking to everybody about it over the weekend. I told them to get the book. You know, I said, listen, it might be a tour. And when it comes to an area near you, you know, drag your kids, bring your son, because the son will probably sit. Oh, listen, I'm all hyped. And Councilman Joe said, yeah, we got to get this around the city. I said, listen. After your lead, sir. Uh-huh. And he said, we need to do this and perpetuate the same thing we did here around the city. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm hoping that will be the case. That's why I said to you when I said on my way out that if that's the case, I certainly want to be a part of yes. this. I know it's for the men, but, you know, the woman's voice was
oh no,
a little bit.
Absolutely. The women have been extremely supportive, and there is a tribute to women in the book. Mm-hmm. Because you can't talk about the father and son relationship without talking right. about mm-hmm. the contribution of women within that. And so I made sure we were done the book, and I had to go back and say, I need to make sure that this is here, because during all of the panel discussions, the women showed up for that.
I know that's right. Well, we talked about a music featured artist, and we're going to be really excited to hear his song, and we're going to premiere it right here on the Bishop Mary Show. So here's Hooked.
Welcome in to this place. We need you in this place. Make us new in this place, Jesus. Wrap your arms around me. No bondage set us free. I'm desperate, don't ever leave, Jesus. Your love has captured me. Your grace has covered me. Your spirit surrounding me. I'm hooked on you, Jesus. You're never failing, always prevailing. To me, you're caring. I'm hooked on you, Jesus. Take control in this place. Cleanse our souls in this place. Make us whole in this place, Jesus. Forgive us for our mistakes. Speak to me face to face. This is the day that you have made, Jesus. Help me say your love has captured me.
Your grace
has covered me.
Your
Wow, what a beautiful song. Hooked. When I first heard it, I said, hooked on what? Hooked on who? Is he singing about a little girl? You know, somebody he hooked up. But Dad said, no, not yet. All right. Wow, that was A.J. Evans. Beautiful song.
Thank you.
So was that something you wrote?
Yes. I've been writing my own music for a while now, since before the pandemic. But once the pandemic hit, it kind of gave me an outlook on that I really needed to release some of this work because it's my writing. It's what I love to do, and it's my calling. So I went to my parents and told them, okay, this is what I wrote. This is how many songs I have. And we ultimately came to that decision to release that song. So it was my first single, and I'm so excited to continue writing and continue delivering what God has given me.
And of course, it didn't help that he goes to Enoch Tabernacle, where the Enoch Music Group is.
Yes.
The producer. And of course, you have fun.
Blessed. The boy is just blessed all the way around.
Let me tell you, I mean, when you're talking about Dr. Austin, you know, and Charles Smith and some of these cats, I mean, you can't have some of the best in Philadelphia as a part of that. The message that you say is one of the lines I love. You talk about your love, your grace, your mm-hmm. spirit. As a young man, and particularly for the people who are listening, mm-hmm. I mean, are you radical? Like, you know, how you love Jesus like that? That's what young people would say.
Right. Sometimes being young, it's hard to kind of, all right, accept that, okay, Jesus, I love him. And mm-hmm. say it out loud and say it proudly mm-hmm. because you deal with being a teenager and wanting to do these different things. I love this song by Jonathan McReynolds. It's called No Gray. Okay. And it's just a big TikTok that's going on right now talking about how you're dealing with the ways of the world and trying to figure out how to also love God at the same time. But what I came to realize is that God will never leave us nor forsake us. So we need to always stay hooked on Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the light. And he will never put more on us than we can bear. So I always look at that and say, what would I rather do, be the way of the world or be the way of Jesus who will never leave me? And I chose Jesus. So,
wow. And of course, that's influenced by mom and dad.
Yes, it is.
And so when you accepted him as your personal savior, was that just a reactionary thing? Particularly, you know, we as kids, when our parents say it's time. I mean, my mother said, I'm not living with demons in my house. So you right. want to make a right. quick decision for Jesus.
Right.
Right. Right.
I would say in terms of me, my parents made me get baptized at a very young age. I was about 5. So I would say, yes, I've been in the church all my life. I've been singing in the adult choir at 10th Memorial Baptist Church since I was 3 years old. So I've always had that love for Christ because of my parents. However, there comes a point in life where you have to choose for yourself and you have to go about it in a way where you can connect with God by yourself. I say it's hard a lot of times for teenagers because a lot of times you don't want to show that vulnerability. You don't want to show your connection with God. And that's why a lot of people don't stand up, like raise their hand, don't want to shout, don't want to show that vulnerability and that connection with God because they're scared of what other people might say. They're scared of how it might come across, or they're scared of just showing that, or they're scared of not being cool. And I came to realize that loving God is cool. Loving Jesus is cool. And that's why people always come up to me and like they say, be yourself. Always be yourself. When you're making music, when you're writing music, always be yourself, because if you come come across not as not being yourself. You're coming across as not showing your connection with God as well. So I always want to show my connection with God. So that's why after that kind of pandemic was over, I started to show what my connection with God was. And it's through music. A lot of people have different connections with God. And mine is definitely through music. So,
well, I would say you had a little burst of energy. I watched you for like 20 minutes. I'm like, okay, he's been jumping around. Let me see. You know, us old G's, you know, after about 5, 6 minutes, maybe 10.
Yes.
You know, we're ready to have a cup of water.
He's been like that since. Yeah,
right to the next song. Yes. I was like, that's Youngman's. Yeah, that's Youngman's right there. That's strength of the youth.
We were trying to sit him down when he was 3 years old because me and my wife would sing on a young adult choir. And he would not sit down. He would get away from people and run right up to the choir. He knew every song because he went to rehearsals. And we even have a video of him when he was 3 up there. And so the pastor said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. And it was that blessing of leaving him alone that manifested something else in him. And so he's always, you know, we have a running joke in the family that he's not Baptist. He's Pentecostal.
I became Pentecostal because I started singing at 3, too. I'm a PK.
Right.
Not that I had a choice. I was born on the front row of the church. And my mother was the church secretary. Uh-huh. And I was in there from 6 weeks, not by my own volition. Mm-hmm. But I started singing at 3. And I didn't feel like it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Now, back then, they had this way of persuading you to see it their way.
Right.
You
right.
see. Mm-hmm. And that became very much the case for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to sing, yes, Jesus loves me. So my mother, you know, pulled me out in front of the little cherubs, Jubilee, whatever you want to call them. I think it was the cherubs choir.
Mm-hmm.
And she came this close to me, turned me around in front of the whole church, smacked my behind. She said, you better sing it like you never did. Well, I started, yes, Jesus, nothing. Yeah, I started clapping the candle. And I mean, the Baptist, oh, my God, she's clapping. She's doing all
right,
this.
Right, right.
Because I got fire from the rear.
Right, right, right.
That
right.
spurred up to the hands.
Right, right.
It came out. But that's the spirit that you catch hold. And I'm still loud about it even to this day. Because It was that infusion.
Yes,
music is really passion for me, and I'm funny about it. Mm-hmm. I can be really anal about it. It don't sound right. It's not delivered right. Mm-hmm. As a minister of music, if the choir got up on the wrong point, you know, sit down and I'll sing a hymn. I mean, I'm real old school with that because we usher in the presence of the Lord, and when the praises go up, the blessings come down. And you know, the Luciferian spirit will come in real quick because he was chief of music, and you know, he was that. And so when you have these sensitive and, you know, touchy musicians and and people who think they're divas or devos, you know, and I'm doing all of this because of my articulation and my delivery, we can lose. It becomes, as you said, an act. It becomes showtime at the church. You know, well, we go over to this church because they have a really banging band, and it's not about the anointing.
Yes.
Right.
And the one thing that gripped me is I was standing in the back because I was thirsty for some iced tea, and I heard it was no more, so I ran back to see if I could get some driplets. And I was back there. One young lady turned around to me, and she said, oh, watch, Bishop, I know you're singing. I said, yeah, yeah. And I was hearing you singing the worship song, and I said, now, there's something different. She said, oh, he's anointed. I was glad it was somebody else. I knew it. But I wanted to see if someone in the choir or in the audience could pick up the anointing. There's a difference between a talent, a gift, and the anointing. And when you have the anointing, it don't matter. I mean, it was making people stop and look because they were feeling the presence of the Lord.
Absolutely.
And that is just something, young man, let me tell you. I know they'll start hitting you, throwing stuff at you, wanting you to do this, compromise, don't say this word, don't do that, but stick true to what you know.
Yes.
And never, ever lose the anointing.
Yes.
Because then it's just showbiz.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you can get paid. I mean, you can. Your dad and your mom can read the contracts and all of these wonderful things. But there's nothing like really being a true one. I love Jonathan Renz because he says, I'm just not going to do it. Yeah. And yet, he's blown up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because God will make room.
Yes,
he will.
For you when you are true and faithful to him.
Yes.
Absolutely. So how many songs have you written?
I've written a lot of songs. I'm working right now on an album through Enon Music Group. I don't have a release date yet, but I am pretty much finished recording. This has been a really like great process for me because like I wrote all my music. So I did like 8 or 9 songs.
Of course you're going to come back on the Bishop Mary show.
Yes,
when you,
of course.
When you debut
of course.
This album, you know.
Of course.
First here.
We're excited about the album.
Really,
I think
you're
going to
love it.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you still call it an album? When I see my generation, when I hear album, I see this big giant platinum.
You know, I keep saying, like, what is the correct terminology? I don't know.
A lot of it is digital nowadays, so it just totally depends on how much time is on it.
It's not the
you
wouldn't
know, but we used to have music on like, you know, plastic, and we'd have to go put the needle.
He wouldn't know, but you gotta show him one of those. And you know, June is also Black Music Month.
Yes.
And it is wonderful that on Father's Day that we have some of the richest music in our history.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I want to do a couple of snippets of some songs your dad and I may know, but you'll get educated on later on. We're going to start off with one of our legendary voices. Guess who?
Donny Hathaway?
Huh? Yeah.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more. To myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Oh,
Nobody say it. That was Louis Axelrod Armstrong. The second was Aretha Franklin. And the third were the Commodores. All right, here's a little bit more.
You taught me everything, everything you've given me. I always keep it inside. You're the driving force in my life. There isn't anything or anyone that I could be, and it just wouldn't feel right if I didn't have you by my side. Oh, you were there for me to love and care for me when skies were gray. Whenever I was down, you were always there to comfort me. No one else can be what you have been to me. You will always be, you will always be the girl in my life for all time. Mama, mama, you know I love you. Ooh, you know I love you, mama.
When I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again.
Ooh. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. Come on, as for me and my house,
we'll serve the Lord.
Praising his name.
I'll serve him. I'll serve him. I'll serve him.
Now, do you know what the next three were? The first was Boyz II Men. The second was Dance With My Father, Luther Vandross. And, of course, you know the third. That was his pastor, Ala Walla and Enon Tabernacle. Yes. Now here's one more.
I wrote this song. And I pray that you listen to all the words. Because I feel like at some point in everybody's life, you feel like this. Lord, I'm split in two. Part of me loves the world and the other loves you. So what do I do? I want to be saved, but I gotta stay cool too. And no, I'm not a fool. I know eventually I'm gonna have to choose. And really, I don't want to lose my ticket into heaven and a chance to be used by you. And if it's God that I'm after, I just can't serve two masters. And before something happens, I gotta turn it all around, because I know I can't just have my cake and eat it too. 'Cause it's real easy to stay on the fence and still do you. And it'd be cool if we could love the Lord and still go do our thing. But see, it doesn't work like that. You gotta be white or black. See, I've realized when it comes to sin, you just don't compromise. See, it's a matter of death and life. Be weak and do wrong, or be strong and do right. And I don't wanna keep going to church, singing all about how much you're worth, and then continue doing my dirt, living as if I didn't care if you're hurt. 'Cause if it's God that I'm after.
All right. Now I know you know this one.
Johnny May.
That's right. Jonathan McReynolds, No Gray. Beautiful, beautiful song. So as we were talking about music, and I kind of mixed it up a little bit, just making our heritage and the importance of music. You expressed earlier about the power of the praise.
Yes.
And how that is. But most of our music, gospel, came from R&B, blues, which most people now thinks it's demon seed. And, oh, my God, you listen to that? Yeah, I do. Because that's where we got the gospel from.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had our own Negro spirituals. So we're going to give you a treat. I'm calling them out. I'm calling them out. Yes, I am. We're going to sing the Negro National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing, one verse in a cappella style. And this has never been done on the Bishop Mary Show before.
And there's a reason.
So we'll have young man start us off, and we'll kind of join in.
All right.
Lift every voice and sing to earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun, of our new day,
march on till victory.
That's a real kudos.
I wasn't trying to do that tenor. Y'all go for it.
Oh, my gosh.
Great job.
And there you have it. The Bishop Mary Show Quartet. No. No, but I wanted us to do that because we also had a cappella. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our Negro spirituals were messages that led us mm-hmm. out of slavery to freedom.
Yes.
And so thank you so much for honoring my request. I appreciate you, Mr. AJ. Yay.
That was on the spot. Wasn't no rehearsal.
No.
You got the real.
No.
No Milli Vanilli.
Yeah, so ready.
Amen. We'll all be now living infamy. Yeah. And for Dad. So as we close today, I just want you all to just say one of your favorite quotes and why, because somebody is listening and may have been encouraged through this show mm-hmm. today, not mm-hmm. only through the music, as you say, mm-hmm. the power of it mm-hmm. and how you can be connected to God, but then how it can also mm-hmm. bring a soothing comfort to you, whatever mm-hmm. you're going through in your life, whatever mm-hmm. the genre, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. that you can then be restored and feel some sense of healing. So we'll start with Pops here, okay. since he's the progenitor of Young Man. Amen.
No, the other day, someone at church said, what do we call you, Big AJ? I said, no, I'm the originator.
The progenitor.
Right. But no, I'm going to go back to the quote that I always say, and it was so powerful to me these last couple of years, that there is a victory in vulnerability.
Mm.
And I think in our community, so many of us can be free from so many generational curses and so many things that are holding us back. Low self-esteem and things that happen with our family. And when you look at it, we're dealing with a lot of things that happen in our childhood, that if you speak to those things, if you bring it out, if you contact, there's no shame in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shame in going to God and asking for that direction. And that when you get around like-minded people that want things like you do, mm-hmm. I think that you can win, and I mm-hmm. think that you have to be vulnerable, especially for the men.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you have to go around crying a river every day, but what I am mm-hmm. saying is you have to speak to those things that are holding you back. Talk about your father and son relationships. Talk about some of the things that was taking place in your household. Not harbor on them, not use them as a catalyst to not move on in life, but how do I get over that? How do I move forward? How do I break that particular cycle?
Absolutely.
So I say to everyone, victory and vulnerability. Just try it.
All right. Mm-hmm. And you, AJ?
So mine's is not really a quote. It's a Bible verse.
Okay.
Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth." So I said this verse because it just shows that this young generation can do so much in Christ. And if you don't allow God to use you, then you'll be trapped up into what the devil wants. And that's not what you want. You want to listen to God. You want to follow in God's footsteps because he knows the plan that he has for you. He made you for a purpose. He made you for a reason. So we were talking about earlier, like R&B music, blues music, all of it is great if it's your calling, because it was all made by God. It was all created by God. We're all created in his image. So it's like, go out, do what God has called you to do, and don't be afraid to do it.
Well, I don't know if I can say anything after all of that. Dr. Thompson, did you have something
I'll
quick?
I'll piggyback on what he said, and Dallas Willard, I would quote, quote. He said, learn to admire and not desire. And admire Jonathan Reynolds, love his music, be your own, follow, as you said, your calling, because you have an anointing that's associated with your calling, and God will bless it.
Yes. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us today on this day here, the Bishop Mary Show. I have been blessed with the presence of AJ, the originator, and AJ, the result. And our music feature, AJ Evans. Please make sure you go and get it digital on all the platforms.
Yes.
For Hooked. It'll bless your soul. I listened to it incessantly and was really blessed this week, knowing that it was coming. And certainly we're hoping this will happen again. Thanks to Dr. Toffa for chiming in. To my engineer, Matt, who is D-Bomb. He was able to work on them Absolutely, snippets for me Matt, and keep yes. it real smooth. Uh-huh. I wouldn't know what to do without that brother. Thank you. And listen, blessings on blessings are coming. So just open up and receive them. Be good, be careful, and more importantly, be a blessing. Until next week, thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show.
Thanks for tuning in to another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. And she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.